Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschitya Dejatarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasati Gaurabhaktivrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakalpa Trilubhyas Chakripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. How to say it? Kya ap tagya hai? Satyam. You sound tagya. Put your hands in the air. Everyone take a deep breath. And everyone say, after me, very loud, but after me. Hare Krishna! Louder, please. Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
Okay, done, you're loud. Not bad. Not too bad. How wonderful. Just sitting with all this nectar pouring over us in the form of transcendental sound vibration. It's amazing. Simply amazing. So wonderful, so beneficial, and one feels it immediately. One time, Srimati Radharani and Lord Krishna were resting in Niduvan. Some of you may know of Niduvan, some may have been there. They were resting, and Radharani woke up. She'd had an amazing dream. And she told Krishna, I had this most incredible dream. I can't believe it and I can't understand it. Please help me. So I was dreaming. I was on the bank of a river. It was like the Yamuna, but it wasn't the Yamuna. And there were many devotees around, but they were a little different. They looked a little different from the devotees here in Vrindavan. And they were singing and chanting your names. But then, in amongst them, there was this most amazing personality, just completely incredible. Big, tall, very tall, very, very tall. And for a moment I thought, oh, it's you. But then I saw, no. It's not you, because your color is blackish and this person, his color is golden, like me, but it can't be me. And then this person started singing Hare Krishna and tears were coming from his eyes and he just became so overwhelmed. So much feeling for you, just like how I feel. And I thought, maybe it is me, but it can't be me. But I've never seen anyone feel for you like this other than me. So what's going on? And then that person started chanting my name in great ecstasy. And I thought, ah, he's you. But no, he's the wrong color. So I'm bewildered. Please tell me, what is the situation? Who is this person? And Krishna said, yes, this is a special personality. This is a special form of me. But I never told you about this form of me before. This is a very special form of me. Then Krishna took out the Kastuba gem and told Radharani, look into this gem. See what you see in there. So she looked into this gem, and sure enough, it was exactly what she'd seen in her dream. And Krishna said, yes, this is a special form of me. I'm going to appear in the Kali Yuga. In some years, I'm going to appear in Kali Yuga in this form. And like you were thinking, is it you? Is it me? Who is this? It will be both of us together in one form. So I will appear then. And I will distribute our love. Love for us. Love for Radha and Krishna to everyone in the Kali Yuga. So this is described by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Yes, very beautiful little pastime. So Krishna came. Radha Krishna came in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Namo Mahavadnyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gora Tushaya Namaha. He came in that combined form to give people what had never been made available before. Love, pure love, Krishna prema, pure love for Krishna on the most exalted level. But even to those who are the least qualified, this is Lord Chaitanya. There's very interesting description in one of Jiva Goswami's books called Gopal Champu. There's a discussion between some of the gopis and the reciters of that book, Madhukanta Snigdhakanta. They're discussing about Kubja. Kubja, Krishna met Kubja. When he entered Mathura, he left Vrindavan, entered Mathura, and met different people. First of all, he met the Dobiwala. My father was a Dobiwala. First of all, he met the Dobiwala, who had so much of Kamsa's clothes, all clean, fresh, nice. And Krishna confronted the Dobiwala. Krishna confronted him in, you could say, like typical bridge busy cowherd boy way. Means like, hey, you, Dobiwala. Not so much culture. Hey you, Dobiwala. Hey, you got such nice cloth. Oh, wouldn't you like to give that cloth to us? Nodding his head as he says that. Wouldn't you like? Dobiwala didn't like. Dobiwala. He is just a Dobiwala. What's a Dobiwala? It's not. Nothing very significant in the social ladder. But Dobiwala, he got very arrogant and proud and Who do you think you are, little boy from the forest? These are the king's clothes. How dare you ask for that? How dare you? That's terrible. And Dobie Wallace said, what you should do, I have the solution for you. Go back to the forest, pick some nice leaves and some bark from the trees, and use that for clothes. That will suit you. That's your style. In other words, this is insult. Insult. You're a nonsense. So, not a good idea to treat Krishna like that. So Krishna, he didn't like that. Krishna gave him one slap. You know, in South Africa we have fairly large Indian community, Hindu community. They speak, you know, sort of a kitchen version of Hindi, some of them. Not really even kitchen, it's more like where they wash the pots or something. It's really poor form of Hindi. And they say, if you give someone a slap, they say, you have given a person a what happened? Anyway, maybe you didn't get that. You got it. He got it. Give him a what happened. So now Krishna gave him a what happened. One good slap. What happened? The man's head fell off. And that was the end of the washerman. Good night, Dobie Wallah. As we said this morning, Bad Malenge. Actually, in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Lord Chaitanya describes this whole event to his devotees, and he makes the point that actually that Dobie Wallah, he was not just some Dobie Wallah, somebody from somewhere. He had been, for many lifetimes, he had been performing austerities so he could see God. Finally, he got to see God face to face. But because he was not a devotee, because he had no bhakti, no devotion in his heart, when he saw God, he offended him. So anyway, Krishna met these different people. The florist, Sudama. And then he met this Kubja, Trivakra. She was not an old woman, but Trivakra. She was, you could say, physically disabled. Her body was bent, like a little deformed. Her body was bent over, like somewhat crippled, although she could walk, but she was bent over, kind of twisted form. She would supply Kamsa, the king, with scented oils, perfumes, sandalwood paste, chandan paste, like that. And she was on the way to the palace with some amount of these things for Kamsa. And Krishna walked up to Kubja and same thing. Hey, you! Hey! Hey! Not really hey, just hey! And Krishna said, hey, you, beautiful girl. You know, it could be taken as being very sarcastic and not nice. But this is Krishna. you beautiful girl, you look so nice. Wouldn't you like to give us some sandalwood paste for me and my friends? Wouldn't you like to do that? And Kubja, she said, yes, okay, you can take some. So then Krishna did, very amazing thing. Krishna, with his feet, he trod, at least like the front of his feet, his toes. He stood on her feet. With his thumb and finger, he grabbed her cheeks. And he jerked her up. Like when someone snaps your back, if you ever had that done. Just like a sudden, out of the nowhere, suddenly, jerk! Just, and she just snapped upright. And on the spot, she transformed into a very beautiful young girl. And now she's there, just like physically normal, so to speak, but very beautiful. Looking at Krishna, who is the epitome of beauty. He is more than the epitome of beauty. He is just beyond conception. Krishna, when Krishna was here, and Lord Chaitanya also, so beautiful. Sometimes people would see Krishna, they would faint. Did anyone ever faint when they saw you? One time? Just one person? Not me either. So yeah. Lord Chaitanya was so beautiful. Srila Prabhupada, actually Prabhupada refers to Jiva Goswami in one purport. That whereas Krishna, he carried the chakra and he had different weapons. But, and so he would kill people. He killed many people. Poundraka, the false incarnation. Poundraka, he kind of looked like Krishna to some degree. And he accused Krishna that I am the real Vishnu, Vasudev, and you are just an imposter. Give me back my different items, the symbols, chakra, lotus, club, conch. Give them back. So they met on the battlefield. And they confronted each other and Poundraka said, give me the chakra now. And Krishna said, oh, you want the chakra? Okay. But you have to catch it. And so Krishna released the chakra. Shoo. Poundraka tried to catch it. Unfortunately, he missed. And it decapitated him. And that was another one, Bad Malenge. he would not have made the Indian cricket team. I think Sachin Tendulkar would have refused him. So, but Lord Chaitanya, he was so beautiful. People would just see him. And then the demon in them, means the demoniac consciousness, the attitudes, the whole state of mind, which is what makes a person a demon. Not that they maybe look in a certain way or, you know, Vritrasura. He looked the part. He looked like a demon. But he actually, as a person, he was a great pure devotee. So the essence, when we talk of a person, their consciousness, their heart, who they are, the demon within them would be killed just by seeing Lord Chaitanya's beauty. It's very amazing. So anyway, there was Krishna with Kubja, and now Kubja's looking at Krishna, who's just overwhelmingly beautiful. And Kubja became, apparently, it seems, at least on the surface from the description in Srimad Bhagavatam, it appears she became materially lusty as a young, an attractive young woman for this especially attractive young man. You know, this phenomenon is just too common in material life. So it seemed like that she just wanted to sort of grab hold of him. So some little exchange took place between them. And Krishna told her he was busy. She invited him, come, O hero, come to my house and I will entertain you suitably. Krishna said, no, you know, I'm busy. Well, he was on his way to kill Kamsa. So, you know, I have something to do, but I will come and see you later. And he did. So the discussion then, back to Srila Jiva Goswami and Gopal Champu, there's this discussion, and it's actually between the gopis, some of the gopis, and Lalita. Lalita says that it may be one thing, it is one thing, that on the street she was attracted in this way, and Krishna sort of, reciprocated by just speaking in a, you know, could be taken as a slightly flirtatious type of way, entertaining her mood a little bit. But Lalita raises the point, that may be, but why did he go there afterwards? If it was just a question of just a woman attracted to a man and all that sort of thing, Krishna, why did Krishna go back and spend some time with her? It couldn't be, and this is a very important and in one sense very simple point in Krishna consciousness, it couldn't be just because she had a material attraction and he wanted to reciprocate with that. It couldn't be. You know, after all, you could say, Krishna is a busy man. He doesn't really have time to just fool around with materialists in material ways. So Lalita says, it must be that she achieved a level of prema, Krishna prema, pure love of God, pure love of God, just like us. That could be the only explanation. Actually, if one looks in the Bhagavatam commentaries, one finds Sridhar Swami, the great commentator from before the time of Lord Chaitanya, he makes the comment, when Krishna arrives at her place later, going to visit her, he makes the comment that by now, Kubja has achieved spiritual perfection. She's achieved spiritual perfection. So, back then to Gopal Champu. So how? What happened to Kubja? How did she become spiritually perfect and achieve a level of Krishna prema? Lalita, she's a very big personality. Lalita says, a level of prema just like us. So the thing is that Krishna asked her, give us some of your sandalwood paste and other oils, And she immediately said, oh yes, take them. Take them. And that little gesture, small gesture, from this, at that time at least, unfortunate woman in this very unfortunate physical condition, just that little gesture, Krishna was so moved. Krishna was so deeply affected by that little gesture that he gave her pure love for himself. And I think it's Vishakha then speaks and says, yes, it is just like when an extremely merciful person, extremely merciful person, meets an extremely poverty-stricken person. The extremely merciful person becomes overwhelmed by the pathetic condition of the poverty-stricken person. He just becomes overwhelmed to the point he can't control himself. And he becomes controlled by the condition of the poor person and simply reciprocates, giving mercy to the poor person. So Lord Krishna saw what a condition she's in. It is just too much. You know, we can't, as quote-unquote normal physically people, we can't really understand what it means to live a whole life in a physically deformed, physically disabled condition. That's extreme. That is extreme. A whole lifetime. So Krishna took pity on her and accepted that little gesture she made. She didn't even know who he was, and gave her Krishna prema. So Lord Chaitanya, Krishna was like that sometimes. Not all the time. You know, Pondraka, Krishna didn't preach to him or do something. He just gave him special chakra creeper. And many others, they got similar types of treatment and just wiped out by Krishna. Even some of them, like Arishtasura, the demon in the form of a bull, or as Srimati Radharani says, a male cow. So, Arishtasura, Krishna, punched him, knocked him to the ground, and then kicked him. And Krishna, he's so powerful. One kick, like we saw with the washerman. One, what happened? And that was the end. Even Krishna just went like that with his finger, you know, little flick. Oh, would have been totally the end of the washerman. But now here's Krishna kicking and kicking and kicking and kicking. Because Arishtasura, he was an offender. Krishna doesn't like offenders. He was an offender. So Krishna kept kicking him and kicking. He was already dead. Maybe after the first punch or the first kick. Finished. Gone. What do you say? Ganga Mai Ki Jai. Ram Nam Satyale. Hari Kanam Satyale. Ready for the cremation ground. But because he was an offender, and Krishna feels very strongly about people who are offenders. Now Krishna's a person, he also has strong feelings about things. He has different feelings about different things. And when someone is an offender, he really has strong feelings. Really strong feelings. So he kept kicking him until Arishtasura became his body became effectively a lump of jelly. You could not distinguish what is this. Was it a creature? What sort of creature? Is it just a lump of something? Because Krishna feels very, very strongly, particularly about the offenders. He doesn't like it. So Krishna, of course, on the other hand, you know, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, they are praying. What to speak of one kick from Krishna's foot? If they could just get one scrap of dust from Krishna's foot, let alone one good kick, that would be enough forever. That would be the perfection of their lives. So in another sense, Krishna was being mercy by kicking and 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 kicking. So it's great mercy, but on the other hand, it's also very severe. Krishna, it's described in the third canto of the Bhagavatam, he has his club, which he uses for beating the enemy, smashing them. And the description there is, when Krishna has smashed some demon and killed them, and there's some blood on the club, afterwards when Krishna goes home, he does not clean the blood off the club. He leaves the blood on the club because he likes later to take out the club and look and see, aha, that was the blood of that demon. Because he doesn't like them, the offenders. He doesn't like it. So Krishna was severe. Sometimes, very severe with some people. But then sometimes he was merciful. To Kubja, he was merciful. She didn't even know that he's the Lord. She didn't even think, who is he, what is he, could he be anybody in particular? Or Putana, as Uddhava says, Aho bhakiyam stanakala kutam. Chighamsaya payayad apyasad vi. Uddhava's lamenting after Krishna's disappearance. Alas, alas. How will I find someone now that Krishna has gone? How can I find someone who can be merciful to me as he was? I can't. So alas. It is just too much. So, Krishna killed Putana. She didn't know he was God. She just had little momentary attraction to Krishna as a child, motherly type of mood. Krishna accepted that. He killed her. But he accepted that motherly sentiment as real, and he allowed her to go back to Godhead. And when you go back to Godhead, we all hope, soon, then you may meet Putana. And she may come up and say, yes, I was Putana. Welcome to Goloka Vrindavan. Even actually Prabhupada makes the point that when food, bhoga, is offered to Radha Gopinath, Gaur-Nitai, when food is offered, then the food is benefited. Not only we who eat it, but the food is benefited. At least that alu. Today, I don't know what there may be, but maybe there will be alu sabji, gobi band gobi, mujhe malum nehe. But maybe that alu, which has been offered to Radha Gopinath, Prabhupada says, at least human birth, minimum. And even that alu may go back to Godhead before you. And when you go back to Godhead, you may meet him. He may welcome you, Suswagatam. And he may say, you remember me. I was that Alu. On March the 4th, 2012, Chaupati Mandir. Actually, it's possible. In fact, it is possible. So Krishna was merciful. And Krishna's merciful. Dina Bando Jagatpate. Krishna's very merciful. And even the killing the demons is merciful, ultimately. Anyway, so that's okay in one sense. But Lord Chaitanya, he is Krishna in that mood where the mercy is just overflowing, just uncontrollably, completely. And there's no need sort of to interpret that, yes, well, it was a demon. He was killed by Krishna and purified, so that's nice. So it was mercy even though he got killed. You know, it's a sort of, you could say, interpretation to some degree. But Lord Chaitanya is just blatantly, openly merciful. Very amazing. Very amazing. Just like we were in Navadweep, on the Navadweep Parikrama. We went to Surabhi Kunj. I'm sure many of you have been there in the past. And so that is a place from Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, but it also figures in Krishna's pastimes that Lord Indra in the Govardhan Leela, he was very offensive. He was just extremely offensive. It's quite incredible. He tried to kill Krishna. He tried to kill Radharani, Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, all the cows. He tried to kill them relentlessly for 1 week, just trying to kill them. Then he came to his senses. It's a bit of a long story, but actually, interesting little thing. Srila Jiva Goswami, also in Gopal Champu, he describes how Indra, he went there when all the rain was coming and the storm and everything. And he saw there was no devastation. Rather, Krishna was holding the hill and everything was fine. And so Indra went back home. And Indra was thinking, what? What is this? How is this happening? This storm is enough to destroy the universe. And it is not even slightly affecting this little area at all. There's not even a puddle of water. What to speak of some massive flood? Tsunami. So what's going on? He was perplexed and confused. He hadn't quite got the message yet, but, you know, some process was happening. Then Srila Jiva Goswami explains, it's very interesting. Then a yaksha came to visit. And the yaksha came in and said, I have been sent by Kamsa. Kamsa and Indra, they are sworn enemies. Kamsa, after all, you know, we should also not underestimate Kamsa amongst the demons. He had defeated Indra. He had defeated Indra. And even Agasura, who Kamsa had defeated, Agasura had defeated Indra. So, no, we're talking about serious demon here. He's the real thing, even on a universal scale, Kamsa. And so he's just he's the leader of the demons. And Indra is the leader of the demigods. They are just total enemies. So this yaksha came as a messenger from Kamsa. And the yaksha said, King Kamsa would like to congratulate you and thank you for the good work you are doing in attacking Vrindavan and this nonsense Krishna. And Indra thought, what? My enemy is congratulating me for attacking Krishna? Now, wait a minute, what is this? And so then the messenger went on with this message from Kamsa, that you are just doing such a wonderful thing. We're just so happy with what you're doing. First class work. Just go for Krishna and smash him. And, you know, these foolish bridge bussies, if they won't worship you, we will. No problem. You're our man. And then Indra realized, this Krishna, he is not just some, you know, just another Krishna from the next block, because, you know, Krishna is a popular name. In South Africa, I know many Krishnas and many Vishnus and Radhas. These are just common names. In fact, I met one man when I first arrived in South Africa. It's like a little over 30 years ago. So I met this man. Oh, what's your name? He said, well, because in South Africa, many of them, they adopt English names for their, like, interactions with the white people. So I asked this man, what's your name? He said, yes, my name is Krishna Gopal Govinda. Well, actually, Govinda, they have sort of adapted it to Govinda. So my name is Krishna Gopal Govinda. And I thought, wow, that's pretty good. That'd be a good name to get from birth. And then he said, but everyone calls me Fred. Anticlimax. Anyway, so much for South African Hindu society. But Indra thought, this Krishna, he's not just that Krishna, you know, from down the road. He is that Krishna from up there. The Krishna, the big one, the real one. Oh no, what have I done? What have I done? What have I done? Oh no. And then Indra just became devastated. Completely devastated. He is my Lord. He is my Lord. And I've done this to him? Oh no. So Jiva Goswami gives very vivid description that Indra, despairing, overcome with grief, and uncontrollably crying in anguish, resolved to take his own life. He couldn't live any longer. It's too much. My offense is too much. I must just kill myself. It is a little bit of a long story, actually, but Brihaspati, the priest of the demigods, like guru of the demigods, he then came and chastised Indra. You nonsense. You want to commit suicide. You're already worse than dead. So don't waste your time. There's no need to kill yourself. You're already more than finished. You're just washed up. That's it. End of story. So, Indra begged him, pleaded with him, and Brihaspati said, well, all right, go to Brahma. Maybe he can help you. So Indra went to Brahma, and trying to be a little cool, calm, collected, like, I'm not that stressed really, but I just need a little advice. You know, it's not like the end of the world, but just give me a tip. Indra came and said, you know what? I heard you recently offended Krishna. Because Brahma had not long before stolen the cowherd boys and calves. I heard you offended Krishna. Brahma became very serious and said, yes, it's true. Very bad. How foolish. And Indra said, well, funny you should mention it, but I did too. And Brahma said, yeah, I heard about that. And Indra said, well, I don't know what to do. Can you help me? And Brahma said, yeah, you're right. I offended Krishna. It was very bad and I regret it so much. But it was nothing like what you did. And Brahma told him, you know, I'm sorry. I can't help you. You have to go. So then Indra just broke down completely and begged Brahma, you have to help me, you must. Please, please. And then Brahma told him, all right, take the Surabhi cow, approach Krishna. As we said, it's a long story. They did that. Surabhi cow went, they approached Krishna, they did the big Abhishek. Then at the end, all the demigods left, everyone left, just Surabhi and Indra and Krishna. And Indra approached Krishna, you know, have you forgiven me? Please forgive me. Please tell me. Krishna just looked at him, and Krishna just moved his head. Just go. Just go. Just get out. He didn't even say anything. As they say in American culture, hit the road, Jack. So Indra, in other words, Indra was still feeling bad. In fact, he was still feeling extremely bad. So again he approached Surabhi. Please help me. You're dear to the Lord. You're so dear to the Lord. Please help me. And Surabhi said, all right. All right. You come with me. I will take you to a place. And I will introduce you to a form of Krishna. He is Krishna. He's not another person. But he's a special form of Krishna. And he is especially merciful. And he's in this especially merciful place. And I will introduce you to him. And you approach him. And I'm sure he'll forgive you. So they flew through the universe there to Navadvipa, Godrum Dweep. And they landed in that Surabhi Kunj area. And the cow, Surabhi, stood under this big banyan tree. Huge, like 15 kilometers across. She stood there and she told Indra, all right, now we are going to invoke, we are going to call for the special form of Krishna to appear so he can give you his mercy. So I'm going to teach you the special mantra. Repeat after me. Okay, are you ready? Put your hands in the air. Take a deep breath. And the special mantra is, after me, very loud, Gauranga! Please, loud. Gauranga! Okay, not bad. Not bad. Getting better. Acha or. So he called out, and Lord Gauranga appeared under that tree. And Indra fell at his feet, and just crying tears, just bathing Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet. And Lord Chaitanya forgave him completely and told him clearly, you are completely forgiven. Put it behind you and go back and carry on with your service. And Indra, it's the same Indra. He is still there now. And it is on the basis of this that he didn't commit suicide. And he is still our Indra. So you see, this is Lord Chaitanya. He is especially merciful. He is very amazing. It is quite inconceivable, actually, the mercy of Lord Chaitanya giving this process of the chanting of the holy names, which is accessible for everyone. It's accessible for everyone. It's amazing. Even in this Kali Yuga, where people are very unqualified. You know, we mentioned this morning about how sometimes devotees watch television. What's that called? Sazbi Kabi Bahuti. Right. Saz. Be nice to your mothers-in-law. Okay. Sazbi Kavi Bahuti. Choti Bahu. So. But what about, what's it called? Dilwale Dulyanya Le Jayenge. What's his name? Raj, right? I never watched it. And I'm not intending to. Raj is the hero. Shah Rukh Khan. So we're not interested. We want Radha and Krishna and not Aishwarya and Abhishek. So it is Kali Yuga. And seriously, it's a disaster. It's simply a disaster in terms of dharma. Any dharma, actually. You know, just because a movie is Hindi Bash, people think Ye Hamara Bharatiya Samskriti. This is like culture, just because it's in Hindi. But it's rubbish. Sorry. Satyam eva jayate. But even in this Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya is so merciful. Everyone, even someone, just not really a devotee, but, you know, he's into dharma. He's like big dharmatma. And he follows, he does all the pujas and all the different prayers and yajnas. And he knows all the mantras and tantras and yantras. And, you know, he's big Hindu. And he only speaks should Hindu, Hindi. Only should Hindi. But his position is not good. Not good. Actually bad. So Kali Yuga, Maharaj mentioned that verse, Kalo Dosha Nidhe. This Kali Yuga is simply an ocean of fault. And when you're in the middle of an ocean, doesn't matter. You may be Olympic gold medal swimmer, but you're in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. That's the end. You can't do anything. You can't do anything. This is Kali Yuga. But Lord Chaitanya is so merciful to give us the Sankirtan Yajna. And in this way, deliver anyone. Even, doesn't matter really who they are. Papi, tapi, anyone. Sinful, serious. He'll deliver anyone. Tarasakshi. Jagai Madhai. The evidence, the proof is Jagai and Madhai. There's one nice story. Many of you, I would imagine, would be aware of it in Mahabharata. Bhima. Bhima is in the palace. This is later, after the battle, if I remember correctly. Bhima's in the palace. Yudhisthira's inside. Bhima's in sort of the entrance, foyer, before the throne room. Yudhisthira's inside. He's the king. He's receiving the people. Anyone wants to come, they can approach the king. Every day, 1 hour a day, something like that. Anybody. They want to say anything, ask a question, make a complaint. He's available. So there's Bhima just outside the entrance, and one man comes walking in. Oh, problem, big problem. Bhima says, oh, really, what's your problem? Man says, you know, I have a vegetable garden, and I built a wall around it with stone to protect it so people will not come in and steal the vegetables. But the wall is now moving in, encroaching on the garden. The wall is eating the vegetables. It's meant to be protecting. The wall is eating the vegetables. What's going on? And Bhima said, I don't know. Go ask Yudhisthira. So in went that man. Then second man. Oh, problem. What's going on? Bhima said, oh, problem, what's your problem? He said, well, I have a well. I took out some water, bucket of water. I poured it into 5 containers, all the water. Then I changed my mind. I poured all the water back in the big bucket. But now, in the big bucket, there is less water. What happened? Bhima said, oh, don't ask me. Go ask Yudhisthira. In the man went. Then third person, oh, problem. I don't know what's happening. Abhinav asked him, okay, what? Tell me, what's your problem? Man said, well, I have an elephant. We were walking. We walked through a hole. There was a wall, big wall. It had a big hole in it. So we walked through, me and the elephant. And we walked through, but the tail of the elephant got stuck in the hole. Elephant got through with me, but his tail got stuck. I can't understand it. What's going on? And Bhima said, sure, beats me. Go ask Yudhisthira. So in went that third man. Then fourth man came. Oh, big problem. Oh, I just don't know what's going on. Bhima, okay, calm down. Tell me what's the problem. Man said, well, I was walking. I was just walking out there somewhere. And I came across this mountain. It's a big hill. It's rock. All these different boulders on top of each other. This big hill made of boulders. And just one little creeper growing out. Nothing else. Living. Everything else is just all these rocks piled up. And this one little creeper sticking out. I pulled the creeper out. The whole mountain collapsed. The whole thing just collapsed. Finished. No more mountain. What on earth is going on? It's just this little creeper. What's the story? Bhima said, don't ask me. Go ask Yudhisthira. So in went that man. So now Bhima's waiting and he's wondering, what is Yudhisthira going to tell these people? How to understand all of this? It's amazing, I mean. But nobody came out. So he waited and waited. And Bhima thought, okay, I'm going to go in and let me find out for myself. He walked in. There's Yudhisthira sitting on the throne alone. Nobody else in the room. And Bhima came and said, where are those men? Did you send them away? Where are they? They didn't come out through the door again. Where are those four men? And Yudhisthira said, four men? Which four men? Nobody came. I've been sitting here alone the whole time. Tell me about these men. Bhima said, yeah, okay, first man. Vegetable garden, built a stone wall to protect it from thieves. Now the wall is encroaching on the garden. The wall is eating the vegetables. Yudhisthira grabbed hold of his throne. Said, what? No. Really? Tell me about the other men. And Bhima said, well, okay, second man, big bucket of water, poured it into five smaller containers, poured the water back in the big bucket, there was less water. Yudhisthira, more anxious, no, really, I don't believe it. Ah, tell me about the others. Oh, yeah, Bhima said, okay, third man. He has an elephant. They're walking along. They walked through this hole in a wall. They got through, but the elephant's tail got caught in the hole. Bhima jumped to his feet. Yudhisthira jumped to his feet. No! Where are they? Tell me where they are. Catch them. Arrest them. Get them! Stop them! Bhima's just totally bewildered by now. And Bhima said, please tell me, who are they? What are all these stories? What's going on? And Yudhisthira said, they're all personifications of Kali Yuga. But it is not Kali Yuga. It's still Dwapara Yuga. They're too early. We must stop them. They've come too soon. And Bhima asked him, well, can you explain what it's got to do with anything? I mean, and Yudhisthira said, the man with the wall, he represents that in Kali Yuga, people, they have a few vegetables, they have a few things, but thieves come and they try and steal whatever you've got. Thieves will come and try and steal. So the government is there, the police force. They're meant to protect you from the thieves. But then they end up stealing from you. And they become the biggest thieves. And then the man with the bucket of water and the other buckets, and then there's less water. Yudhisthira said, this is like children in Kali Yuga. The parents put so much energy and time and money. They invest in growing their children and developing their children. And then the children grow up, and they just go. And that's it. They don't reciprocate. So the parents invest so much, they get less back from the children. And the elephant, his tail gets caught. That means there are so many big fraudsters, criminals, cheats. And they're doing big, big cheatings and briberies and frauds and, you know, cell phone contracts. And if you know that story, I'm sure you must. And things like this. But because they're big people with big money, they can get away with it. You know, money talks, everyone walks. And some little man, he cheats someone out of some small thing. And he gets caught, and it's in the newspapers. Fraudster caught. Criminal arrested. So Yudhisthira said, it's all Kali Yuga. But it's not Kali Yuga yet. They must be stopped. It's too soon. It's too soon. And Yudhisthira said, but what was that, the fourth man? You said there was four. And Bhima said, right, okay, yeah, well, I don't know what you're going to say about this one. But he said, he was just walking outside somewhere in the countryside. He came across this mountain. It's all these rocks and boulders and just big pile of rocks. And nothing living. Everything finished. Just one little creeper. So what he did, he took the creeper, he pulled the creeper out, the whole mountain collapsed, finished, gone. And Yudhisthira said, ah, very good, very good, that's wonderful. Yudhisthira said, actually, this is also a reflection of Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, there is just, it's like a mountain of sin, bad karma, and it's just horrible. But there's one little good thing, the chanting of the holy names. You just take that and the whole mountain of Kali Yuga is finished. So this is the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, and we hope you have a nice festival in a few days. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki. Gauranga. Gauranga. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Are we ready? 1 minute. 1 minute or. Beti ye up. Kripaya. Me. Toda Hindi samasto. Toda se. Lekin. Bot karabe. So, yes, you know, I almost forgot the main reason for my, sort of the main reason for my coming here is we want to launch officially our book about Vrindavan. Do we have a copy of it? Oh, it's all sort of tied up. Oh, okay, do we? Anyway, let me just tell you about this book. I can just show you one or two pictures if it's open, yeah. This is a book about Vrindavan town. Probably you've all been there. Some of you maybe many times, thanks. So, it's a big book. It's a big book. It weighs 2 kilos. It's one of the biggest books ISKCON has ever made, I think, in one sense. And it is going around all the different temples in Vrindavan town, just Vrindavan town. We're currently working on Govardhan Hill, the same concept, but Govardhan Hill. But now this is the first Vrindavan town. So, it covers 83 mainly temples and a few other places, you know, like some ghats and so on. And when we were about to start it, which was 2009, start compiling, I was there in Vrindavan with a group of devotees. We were doing parikrama. And I asked one of the devotees who has helped me in the past making DVD videos of the Vrindavan area and different places. I told him, no, we want to do a book and video about Vrindavan town. Will you go and go to some of the main temples and ask them, can we take photos of the deities? So he went into town. We went on parikrama. We met in the evening and I asked him, so what did they say? He said, well, I went to about 10 of the main temples and I asked them all and they all refused. Every single one. They wouldn't let us take any photos. So I thought, well, I guess that's it. There won't be, you know, a video or a book about Vrindavan town, you know, too bad. But then I thought a couple of days later, well, why don't we go and ask them and just, you know, speak to them and try and, like, spend some time with them, be nice to them, and then maybe they'll be more sort of willing and open. So we did that. And we found that when we went, spent some time with the pujaris and spoke to them nicely and appreciated how they're worshipping the deities, we found that they all started agreeing. Amazing. Not, in the end, not actually all, but more than 90%, like all I think other than 3, agreed. And so we were able to get photos. And some of them are photos, some of these deities, you cannot photograph, as they say, for love or money. You just can't do it. Some of them you actually just can't do it. And, you know, I hate to say the wrong thing, but there were a few we had to use certain techniques. sort of, you know, slightly like spies to somehow get photos. Like, this is the original Madan Mohan in Karoli, 5,000-year-old deity. You cannot photograph this deity. I've seen one photo, but it was just really, you know, just some, technically a very sort of, not a photo you could use at all, not even in the slightest. But we managed to do this. Unfortunately, we didn't get permission. Please don't tell them. But we got the photo. And there are others. There's a few others which are just like, you know, they're difficult. They're really, really difficult to get photos of, like this. This is another one. It's on your left. See this? It's a page from a book. See that? This is said to be the Srimad Bhagavatam of Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. And it's there at the what they call the Bhattaji Temple, which is in just off the Bunki Bihari Bazaar, sort of near the Nrsingadev Temple, if you know that. And you can have darshan of this. They open it up once a year on the disappearance day of Raghunath Bhatta Goswami for 1 hour. And they offer arati to it, and then they cover it up. And then, you know, if you are too late, come back next year. So, but we went in there and spoke to them, and it wasn't that day. But we just spoke to them and, you know, appreciated. I mean, sincerely appreciated, because many of them, they actually do worship the deities very beautifully. And the pujari allowed us to take a photo. So there are many beautiful photos in here and some nice information about different temples. And it comes with a double DVD, two DVDs. We're going to show you a bit. You know what to do? Use the DVD player software. No, in the bottom is the DVD player software. We're going to show you maybe 5-10 minutes from the DVDs. You know, among other things, I won't go into all the details, but I will say, you know, it is not as cheap as I would like it to be. We have a partner involved in it, and so it is not a cheap book. It's normally about a couple of thousand rupees, 2,100, which I know is not cheap. We're offering it today as a special offer. The temple is offering for anyone who would like. You can have it for 1,800 with the double DVD set. Take a copy. Take an extra one for your friends. And yeah, like this. We would like to spread the mercy of Vrindavan around. One reason why it's a little expensive is that if you actually want to do these things nicely, you need good equipment, and it's really not cheap, like actual professional cameras and things like that. Aha, that's it. So, yeah, video. So, yeah, D. No, down, that's it. And let's start. So, go in there, go inside. Disc one. Go up one level. Go up one level. Up one level. And, no, actually go up a further level. And just click on, yeah, okay now. Just hang on a sec. So let us just show you a few minutes. There's an introduction. It's about 5 minutes. And it is going quickly through most of these 80 places. Just glimpses of the different deities, a few seconds of each. Let's watch that and see what you think. Okay. Restart. And make it full screen. Up on the right. Okay. And introduction. Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki.
Some of his earlier childhood lilas took place here, and as a result, over the years, devotees have established many temples and shrines to commemorate those activities and to glorify him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. After the Lord performed his pastimes here, many of the temples and deities were lost. But about 500 years ago, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, all disciples and followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the most recent incarnation of Lord Krishna, were sent here by him to re-establish the lost holy places and find the deities which had been hidden or lost due to the influence of time. The six Goswamis and their followers established the seven main temples of Vrindavan, Radha Madan Mohan, in which the deity was one of the original 5,000-year-old forms of the Lord. Radha Govinda, also one of the original deities. Radha Gopina, another original deity. Radha Damodar, a more recent deity carved by one of the six Goswamis, Shiva Rupa Goswami. Radha Ramana, worshipped by Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Radha Gokulananda, worshipped by Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakura. And Radha Shamsinda, worshipped by Baladeva Vidyabhusha. Initially, we'll visit these temples. Then we'll visit the Krishna Balaram Temple, established by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, who took Krishna out of Vrindavan and around the whole world. After that, we'll visit so many of the most sacred places in Vrindavan town. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Paritra Naya Sadhana, Vinashaya Chavishkata, Dharma Samstapanaya Chaya, Sambhavami Vigayuja, to deliver the powers and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish the principles of religion, I myself appear millennium after millennium. In this regard, Srila Prabhupada says, so, to kill the demons, Krishna does not need to come. When he comes, he does so because he's requested by his devotees, like Vasudeva and Devaki. Therefore, the real cause of his coming is at the request of his devotees. But when he comes, he simultaneously shows that he's prepared to kill anyone who is envious of his devotee. Of course, his killing and maintaining are the same, because he is absolute. Those who are killed by Krishna immediately attain salvation, which generally takes millions of years to do. So people may say that Krishna has come for this purpose or that purpose, but actually, Krishna comes for the benefit of his devotee. He always looks after the welfare of the devotee, and so we should understand that we should always be concerned with how to become devotees. Srila Prabhupada has told us that the Lord has performed so many pastimes to attract our minds from this material world to Him, so we become inspired to become His devotee. He is very merciful to those who serve Him, and he's waiting for us to turn to him and take shelter of him through baptism or devotional service. Visiting these holy places is a very important part of the process. There are histories behind many of them, and in this video, we presented a wide selection of them. Please walk with us through this sacred path and take in the wonderful spiritual atmosphere that is pervading us.
Sorry about the sound. It's something to do with the sound system. The actual sound is okay. I mean, on the DVDs. But that's a little introduction. So, if you would like, we have some books here. You can get some books and DVDs. Hare Krishna. Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki.